It is how things really work. And the kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes on a journey. He gives to one of his servants 5 talents of gold, to another 2 talents, and to the third 1. A long time later, he comes back to settle accounts. The first servant has doubled his money to 10 talents. So has the second doubled his money to 4 talents. The third servant buried his talent in the ground and has made absolutely nothing of it. The man praises and rewards the first 2 servants, and he's angry with the third servant and throws him out into the darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The NIV calls this the parable of the bags of gold. A bag of gold is quite easy to imagine, but not so easy to value. Is it a big bag of gold? How much is gold worth? It has also long been called the parable of the talents. Now, a talent was a measure of gold roughly equivalent to half a lifetime of wages. A talent is a huge amount. It is where the English word talent comes from, meaning gift or natural aptitude. The man gave his servants vast amounts to use. Jesus tells a lot of parables about the kingdom of heaven. Each parable shows particular characteristics of the kingdom. The parable shows how things work, as I said, the mechanics of God's reality, his law. This particular parable has a tendency to haunt me. It sits in the back of my mind, especially when I'm low. Even in these difficult times, I know I am immensely privileged to have been born in the 20th century, to be born into a stable and loving Christian family, into a period and to a place of relative affluence and comfort and safety. I marvel at the fact, for example, that the births of both my children were difficult. So difficult, in fact, that if I had simply been born just 100 years earlier, I would very likely be a childless widower. If I'd been born 200 years earlier, it would be an almost absolute certainty. I have also had the privileges of education and fairly consistent employment. I have modest natural abilities, barely visible, I know, and I have the opportunity to use them in God's service. I have been given my talent of gold, and I often worry that I'm not making the most of it. Deep down, I think I know I'm the third servant. Now, we are designed and created to make the most of what we have, what we've been given. We're designed to make the most of it, to act, to use it. Our faith as Christians is not a passive one. We're not called to sit around and wait patiently for Jesus. God has given us each resources and responsibilities. He has given us work to do, his good work, good stuff to do. Our resources and responsibilities are not the same. As in the parable, we are given different talents, different capabilities and capacities, and we're given different opportunities, and we're given different jobs to do. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. The kingdom of heaven is not a one-size-fits-all. We are each different, and God treats us differently. Now, this might be hard for us to take on board. We live in a culture of individualism, where people cherish their independence and their self-sufficiency. And it is becoming more and more common to look down upon charity and not want to be seen to be reliant or dependent on others. There's a common belief that anyone can be anything they want to be. But it is no good looking at someone else's gifts with envy. We are each designed to have different strengths. And it is not everything is equal. We are designed not to be the same. God sees us equally, but we're not the same. We are designed to work together, to not be self-sufficient, but to be dependent on each other, and to love and to serve each other with what we've been given. We need to make the most of what we have. The bottom line is that God has given each one of us huge resources. Even the third servant, even me, I have huge resources. And those resources are sized and shaped to suit us perfectly. And we're called to put them to use in his name, not to keep them locked away. Being ready for Jesus is about action. When we put our faith in Jesus, we need to take risks. Following him is about doing things. It is about putting ourselves out there, not being cautious. And serving the kingdom of God is not, as the third servant found out, about trying to avoid doing things wrong. And the rewards are interesting too. I don't know if you thought about this when you heard the reading earlier, but when the two servants are commended, they are each told, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The master in the parable does not give his faithful servants a rest. It's not put your feet up time. If we look forward to our future life in God's kingdom, I think this is certainly an aspect to ponder, to think about. There will be real work to do. We will be not left to sit around on clouds listening to angelic choirs. And we will not be wandering aimlessly around a new earth picking the odd grape. There will be real, wonderful things for us to do, and we will share in God's joy. The theologian R.T. France puts it like this: "You don't retire from being a disciple. Envisage heaven as a state not of indolent pleasure, but of active cooperation with the purpose of God, as well as enjoyment of his favour." Let me put it another way. Like many things in this world, work is broken and corrupt. It can be a drudge. It can be really hard. It can be unrewarding and painful. Imagine work that really matters and that is tailored to your unique makeup. Work that is never beyond you and that is always recognized and rewarded. Work that is fully rewarding inside and full of joy. That is an aspect of heaven that I, for one, find intriguing. I said at the beginning that this parable can sometimes haunt me. Now I will tell you why it really shouldn't. And I have to tell myself this a lot, which is a good thing. The parable is aimed at the people he was speaking to, the Jews and the Jewish authorities, but that isn't an escape for us. It was not only aimed at them. It was talking about an eternal truth. There is no getting past the fact that it applies to us too. We are each one of us given our talents, and God will settle accounts with each one of us. This is how God's kingdom, how reality works. We are each given our customized set of gifts and of responsibilities, and we are called to act, to make use of what God has given us. And one day, he will settle accounts. And when it comes to those of us who have not fully used the gifts God gave us in his service, when it comes to those of us who deserve the darkness, who have earned the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, when it comes to the sinners, but remember, reality has changed. Jesus told these parables about the kingdom, knowing that he was on his way to the cross. The plot against Jesus was already getting underway, and the Son of God was on his way into the darkness, to that point in history when God's beloved Son cries out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" The Son of God forsaken for our sake, for the sinners, for the third servants, for us, Jesus has paid the price. God's love and grace has washed away all our sin, all our failures, all those times when we haven't best used the gifts he has given us, all wiped clean. I know I am a third servant. I have not always made good use of what God has given me. In his wonderful love and grace, God has sent his only beloved Son, and Jesus has fully paid what I owe, what we owe. And because of this, and only because of this, I am able to hear God speak to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour. Amen.